tomorrow brings, what it has in store. I thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. Hide us in you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I will love the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And I will love the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I will love the Lord. Oh, no matter what tomorrow brings. Let's stand up. What it has in store, I will love the Lord. Amen. I will praise Him with all your heart. Worship Him. And I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm just thinking of a brother. We had a minister brother in Maryland last week. He's 43 years old. He was walking with his family, minister brother with three kids, and he just had a heart attack and died. And, you know, he had just started a church up there and had a lot of people. And I was just wondering, Lord, what in the world? But we started praying for him and his family. And I saw the church at Back Online, and they're pressing on. You know, and that was just an encouragement to me. And of course, we're praying for the family, but we don't know what tomorrow holds. We know who holds tomorrow. And I just thank the Lord, because he was a Christian serving the Lord. So there's a hope. You know, he could have been successful in this life and died the same way, but there wouldn't have been a hope. But by the grace of the Lord, we know this brother had a hope. And that's the hope that we're all holding on to. You know, we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know how this sickness and how this disease and how this thing is going to turn out. But we do know him who holds us in his hands. You know, that's life or death. Amen. We know we will see him. Amen. So let's sing that with all of our heart. We'll get our hearts ready for the word. That's what we need more than anything, that word. Amen. I will praise the Lord. Oh, and I will praise. Serve the Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, and I will serve the Lord. Oh, and I will serve the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I'm gonna love him. I'm gonna love the Lord. And yes, I will love the Lord. Yes, Lord, help us to, Lord, press on, Father. And I will love the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, Lord Jesus. Amen. Certainly we need the word. You ready for the word? Amen. Let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as my brother comes out. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart.
see you, oh Lord. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you, oh Lord. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up. Lift him up today. Shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord this afternoon. See all the smiling faces. And Brother John doing a good job there. And all of our song leaders do good jobs anyway. So sometimes you need to tell them they do a good job. So good to be here. Good to see each and every one of you. You good? Okay. Well, you get... That's not 6 feet. No, you family stay together. We just defeat our purpose when we crowd in one spot. But anyway, they're trying to make you in the back so you can see the board, so that they're doing a commendable job over here. Okay, so. But good to see each and every one of you. By way of announcements, let's get started. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. Now look, don't confuse that with tomorrow's not Veterans Day. Tomorrow is people that have already given their life, and we memorialize the ones, so we need to remember the ones that have made the ultimate sacrifice for this country. And on Memorial Day, we memorialize those that have passed on. We have a few, Brother Tom, several ones Brother Dick was in the Navy. Okay, I don't remember them all, but some of them that have went on. Some of them were in battle that we never knew, but some of them made it through, and now they've passed on, went to be with the Lord. So we memorialize them in what freedom we have. We got it from winning wars. Same way with here. We get our freedom in the Lord by winning some wars. By winning some, let God play, you know, let him work the battle for us. But we want to remember them tomorrow and also be safe. Be careful in what you do, and we always eat hamburgers and hot dogs. So, but next Sunday we're going to start with Sunday school for everyone. What we're going to do is we're going to spread everybody out, and the young kids will be in the middle room where we eat, and Anna will be splitting the two rooms, and then Sister Rachel will be outside. So we need to, some of you brothers, Bob, when everybody's finished coming in the Sunday morning, bring those white tables so that Sister Rachel and them can sit under the shed out here, or the awning, and have their Sunday school class. So, but we will resume that next week. Also, we'll have communion after the second service. Amen to that. Amen. But no foot washing at the moment, and we'll see how that goes. Remember Brother Luis, he'll be preaching Wednesday night. Also remember him, he's on his way back from Beaufort, or in that way, Hilton Head, preaching for a Hispanic brother down there. Also remember June the 6th, which will be not this coming Saturday, but the next Saturday is Bible study. We'll have our Bible study again. We'll try to spread out as much as we can. We'll spread out as much as we can. I love Bible study. If you haven't ever come, you need to try it sometime. Might help you walk a little bit. June the 7th, we will have
second service will be a youth service. So we'll announce that a little bit more next Sunday, but we've got one Sunday in between. And then July the 4th, we may have a special service on Saturday. We're still working on that. So if you got your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10. Let's just read one scripture. Get into our, we're still in the journey of a Christian, our journey of a believer, and we are walking now into the book of Esther. We went through the book of Ruth, and now we're in the book of Esther. So we're going to speak of a little girl that had a very unassuming beginning, and then she became one of the most powerful people in the kingdom. Amen. And always remember, we'll give you the characters and tell you who they are and what they're doing. So let's bow our heads before we get started and speak to the author. The Heavenly Father, Lord, today we're standing here, Lord, knowing that things are not as they used to be, but we know that you never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, you will be our guide if we'll allow you to do that through all this concern and fear that man has. We see some people that literally are shaking in their boots, as we always say, because they're fearful of this virus going around. And Lord, we've taken a position here, you know, to be cautious, but have faith and not have fear. Amen. To have faith, Lord, that you'll take care of the ones that, Lord, faithfully do what you say, Lord, and not provoke you. Father, we realize that this world has no clue what's going on. And they really don't know what roadmap is ahead. But Lord, you've given us tomorrow's news today. Amen. We don't have to literally read the newspaper to know what's heading and what's coming and what we're heading into. Father, it's a great time to be a Christian. It's a great time to be, Lord, held in your arms and let you take care of us as you did through Boaz and Ruth, where the great Boaz stood and took the shoe off and said, I now will take the possession of Naomi's property. Well, Lord, we see that happening in the world, but we see it happening in our lives. Our lives are literally being played out through these characters in the Old Testament. Lord, I pray today that we'll see that in the book of Esther, how, Lord, a little young, unassuming girl becomes a mighty queen in a huge kingdom. And Lord, we know that, as Brother Dale read this morning, Revelations, Lord, his wife has made herself ready, and we're going to rule and reign on this earth. Lord, you took us from the sheep coat. You took us from a life of sin and despair. And you made us, Lord, the greatest people on the face of the earth. The bride of Jesus Christ. An eternal bride. Not just one that's going to be one in past. No, this is an eternal bride. You had us in your mind way before you said, let there be light. And Lord, I pray today that you'll come down among us in a special way today, Lord, and manifest yourself among us by the opening of the word. Father, give us this day our daily bread. We've truly assembled to hear from you, Father. So I pray that you be the one that does the speaking. You be the one that does the revealing. And you be the one, Lord, that takes over this service. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10, let's read just the last verse. We know that Moses and all went through the different things and how that God's telling us that everything they did was for an example. I mean, I was thinking the other day, we didn't go through this too much, but you know, when they had their Passover, they killed the lamb, and then they left Egypt, right? Well, what's the first thing they come to? Water. Water. They were baptized. They went through the Red Sea. In type. Come out on the other side, and here's Miriam having a Pentecostal revival, and then here they got to go through 40 years of the wilderness of what? It's kind of weird that wilderness was named the wilderness of sin. 40 years they wandered through the wilderness. Same just like me and you. What? For sanctification. To get rid of all the old ideas that they had, the old fighters, the old ones. Remember, they all died in the wilderness, all the old ones did. And then God raised up a new group to do what? To be circumcised and then go over into the promised land. So we love that you keep even seeing more and more. Even you preach on it and you study on it. And Brother Dale does. All of you should do the same thing. You should read the Bible and then go, man, I didn't see that. Who added that? Because it wasn't there the last time I read it 6 weeks ago. You know what it was? It wasn't your time to see that piece of the puzzle. But now we come, when we see the puzzle, we see that there was some pieces missing maybe back through time, but today we got all the pieces. And we even saw the picture on the box before we even started getting the puzzle put together. So we know what it looks like. We know, like I said before, everybody's it's kind of funny in a way, but it's not. All the whole world is talking about Antichrist, and they're making it a chip, and they're making it a, you got to go get tested, and they're putting a chip in your body, and that's the Antichrist, and Bill Gates is the Antichrist, and Donald Trump's the Antichrist, and this was the Antichrist, and they missed the whole thing.
Right.
And here we are,
right.
Here we are listening to all that going, no. No, that's not what it is. Thank God he sent us a prophet. Amen. That told us. He said, don't fear communism, but watch it. Don't fear Russia, but watch it. We saw the other day, yesterday, I think, come through the email that Brother Ernie sends us. Did y'all get that? Where Russia is condemning Brother Branham's books and kicking them out of the country. Somebody must have got one of them books where Brother Branham said, watch Russia. Watch the bear. She's not dead. She's just sleeping. And when Russia comes down for the oil and Russian soldiers walk in the streets of America, somebody must have found that out and heard that and said, I don't want that in our country no more. But see, even that's not the Antichrist. The Antichrist is a system that we're already in here. We're not in it, but we're around it. So, it's just, you watch people and you think, man, thank God for a direction that we have.
Right.
God's give us a direction through a prophet, through the Holy Ghost, through the Word of God, that our puzzle looks much different than the world's puzzle.
Right.
And you know what that's going to do? That's going to separate us, and that's what's going to get us in trouble.
Right.
With the regular world, because the regular world's going, oh, that's the Antichrist. No. No, you look at he says, who's the Antichrist? The Roman Catholic Church. And the system. And she had daughters. So don't worry, don't forget about the daughters in that system. So let's not, I mean, I'm not making a joke, but you look at the people running wild with all these different things, and we know, you just sit back and go, that ain't it. It's got everybody fooled except the bride. Everybody. Every system is fooled except the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. So thank God again. Not for just bringing only his word, but for sending us a Mordecai, a little man, a prophet. Because you're going to see this Mordecai step on the scene, and he's going to take this Hadassah, or Esther, and he's going to lead her and guide her into being a queen. And I love this story. The book of Esther is just really full of really good things. So let's read the last verse 11, if you don't mind. If you'll... Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. That's us.
Amen.
That was Paul writing 2,000 years ago. It wasn't to him. He wrote that prophetically for me and you, because here we are.
Amen.
They are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. And we were talking in the Bible study this morning, or Sunday school class this morning, where we see that there's three stages to the new birth. We know that. But then that's not all there is to it. We see that even with Every type we see of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, even with Abraham coming to what? Abraham coming to a type by the circumcision, by his faith in what God said. Remember, he continued on and had to take a child that he had born and had to take him up on a mountain, and God tested his faith. Amen? Same way with Ruth. Ruth comes to a place of resting, lets Boaz do the work for her, and then all of a sudden, what happens to them? They go forward in their revelation and have a child. Didn't end the story right then. It ended, the story comes when they have the child, when there's a conception, when you keep on going, when Abraham has the promised child. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You and I are not commissioned to, as we were talking this morning about Revelation 3:14. We were counseled to buy Isav. We're counseled to do all these things in the end time that they didn't have to do in the first age, second age, third age, fourth, fifth, sixth age. But in this age, we're required to go to full adoption. We're required to, as Brother Dale's talking about, the Son of Man is Him. That was God in human flesh. There's your headstone, the person of Jesus Christ. Now, when He comes back in the end time, He's not going to be in a physical body, one. He's going to be in Esther. A many-membered bride that has, you'll see in a little while, that Esther comes from just a poor old child to where she gets full authority in the kingdom. She marries the king, and she tells him what to do, basically. Not, you understand what I'm saying? We don't tell God what to do, but we are part of the plan. And God don't mind if we remind Him of the plan.
Amen.
Amen. So He doesn't mind if we do that. I love what Brother Brown said. He said that God doesn't mind you reminding Him of what He's already said.
Right.
Amen. So you remind God. How many of you? I remind God. I said, look, God, You promised I'd have my children. You promised me that whatever situation you're in, You promised me that.
Amen.
And God's not going, well, I resent that. God don't resent that. God loves for you to say that, because you're just telling Him back what He's already said. And one day we'll get a revelation of it. And it'll come to fruition. So let's look at it now as the journey of Abraham. The point we were making this morning is it's okay to be, it's fine to be born again and have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and be a Christian. But it's like even in regular life, it's wonderful to have a child and there's little Chloe sitting there, you know, laying there. She's about to go to sleep. No, she's not. She's got a thumb in her mouth, but she's a beautiful little girl. But you know, the conception and the birth was just the beginning of her life.
Right.
Wasn't the end.
Right.
It's the beginning. You got to feed her. She's sucking her thumb now. She's getting a little bit of extra nutrition, but some dirt and some whatever else she's been playing with. But you see, that's the way God is with us. He doesn't want just to, oh, I have this wonderful baby. Now I'm going to go and I'm going to put it in a room and it's so beautiful. I'm going to leave it in that room. I'm not going to touch it. Like Dad's always said, many times he looks on the wall and sees us in different stages of development and he wants, you know, well, I wish they would. No, you can't do that to a person. We're supposed to come on this earth and grow.
Right.
All right, so same way with being a Christian. And you can't grow without being a born again, born again Christian. Then the feeding begins. Then the what? Test becomes for testimonies. Then the things in our life, our journey just begins at the new birth. Same way with a lot. Abraham now, remember his journey started from and went through justification, sanctification. And you got to see that in your life.
Right.
I say it again. If you can't see that in your life, then I adjure you to start over.
Right.
Not going to hurt a thing. Start over.
Right.
Start over. Go to justification and say, God, forgive me of my past sins.
Right.
Go to the water.
Yes.
Repent.
Yes.
And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Promise. Sanctification. Because many times we look. Come on, you know, you talk to people out in the world and they say, well, I quit this, quit that, quit this, quit that, quit this. Even message people. Well, I know I'm born again because I quit smoking. No, that don't mean it. That means that you may have got sanctified and you started coming to church and that unclean spirit's driven out of you. But what are you full of? What are you fixing to get full of again? Because remember, it's still open. The same one can come back in. Well, water's good. And make you what? A believer. But it will be a make believer. Not a true believer. As we look, I was talking about this morning, we're going to get into the book of Esther really good, but I want you to keep getting what's going on here. There has to be a growth stage in every one of us. There has to be, and you've got to identify that you are in that growth stage. Not that you're just, I'm born again. I mashed the button and there God's speaking to me through William Branham. That's okay. Folks, let me tell you how deceiving it is. Just like I've told you many times before. The devil is one person, right? He is a literal person. He's not some goofy spirit. He's a person. Anointed cherub. God made him to be his right-hand man. He has never talked to three people in heaven. He's talked to one person. He knows there's one God because he talks to him all the time. But then he turns around and he says, oh, there's three. You see how deceiving that is? The very man that's deceiving you, the worst deceiver is a man that knows 99% of the truth of somebody or something, right? Because he knows just enough to get you drawn in. Because look, God never in his life ever was three people. But Satan decides to come down to earth at Nicaea at the Dark Ages and he gets inside people's brains and tells them, he must be a like substance. There must be three people because it was God, Son talking to a, you see what I mean? He was reasoning. Same thing happens now. So Satan's not this person that's going to tell you, hey, let's don't go to church. Oh no. That's probably you most of the time. But the devil tell you to go to church. But don't believe what's going on or wish you were somewhere else or sit there and fill your mind full of all these other things. And I really don't know why I'm saying this today, but maybe I'm saying it for somebody. But that's our problem. That's our issue. That's why the children of Israel were 40 years in the wilderness of sin. They were not but just a few miles from the promised land. Brother Brown said, 12 days, made journey or something? Not just a few days. And 2 million people, they weren't just a little group. You walk 2 million people, and listen, you got to have cattle, goats, sheep, lambs, provisions, something for bread, water, all that. So you've got this, you look out in this field, and you put 2 million people, 2 million people may be a mile long and a mile wide. So they literally had to walk in circles around the promised land and have to be looking down and seeing their shoe prints from about 2 or 3 years ago. You understand what I'm saying? And that's the way we've been. We've been falsely taught, not by message. I'm talking about out in the world. And then you come into the message of the hour, and then you know what? Who came with you? Satan came right with you. Satan came right with you. He come right in here and he sat down in the message church and he said, you're fine. You listen to tapes, don't you? Okay. What are you doing about it? What's your life? Are you able to take what you've got and put it in these people's walk in life? Are you able to say that I once was a Ruth and then I had to make a decision? I had to make a decision to go with Naomi. I had to make a decision to go to a place that wasn't mine. Right. To go to a place, you know, we all, and here's our biggest problem with this coronavirus. It's got us out of our comfort zone. Yeah. Amen? Yeah, go ahead. Please say yes. Yes. Tony, you can even amen that. Get us out. It's got us out of our comfort zone. I mean, that's what it's done. So what's God doing? I hope he's getting us out of our comfort zone. Because the devil wants you to be lazy, easy, Laodicea, rich, have need of nothing, naked, blind, wretched, miserable, and don't know it. I want us to know it. I want us to know. I was telling somebody yesterday, we were talking, I think it was me and Jim, were talking about something, and I said, you know, it's... this thing that's happened is what God allowed to happen. We know that.
Right.
And he did it to what? Try us
right. To
see where we be in the faith or not.
Right.
All right. So, and not, I'm just not saying here in this building or downstairs, but you're going to see a great shaking that's going to, every time something shakes, something falls off.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Every time something shakes, something falls off. So God's just going to keep shaking. They're just going to keep falling, keep shaking. They're just going to keep falling. But the bride will never fall.
Right.
She can't fall.
That's right.
She can't fail.
Right.
She's anointed to make the journey just like Caleb typed the end time bride, right? Caleb typed the bride. Caleb stood there 40 years later and said, I'm just as strong now as I was 40 years ago.
Right.
And God honored his faith by giving him a mountain. God will honor your faith in your journey. Somewhere he's going to give you a mountain. And that mountain is the statue of a perfect man.
Right.
And on top of that mountain is where you're going to have victory.
Amen.
On top of that mountain is where you're going to meet that man.
Right.
On top of the mountain is where you're going to see that you are part of this Son of Man. I don't say movement because it's not a movement.
Yeah.
A movement is something that moves and then goes away. This don't go away. This is going to move us into a body change. Amen. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is great to have, but we got to have plus in this end time. It's required. It's required that we have not something different, but we are different. We have promises in here that a lot of people don't have. So that does make us different. Like Brother Brown said, he said, I hate to say it, he said, but God's a segregationalist.
Yeah.
He don't want you to mingle with the world out there. He don't want you to do that.
Right.
He wants you to what? Why did he tell Israel, hey, marry in your own people?
Right.
Don't go outside. Why? He was saying that naturally for them, but also saying it spiritually for you and I.
Right.
Don't go out and mingle and go get these different things out in the world because you're going to bring a lot of things in maybe sometimes that you really didn't see. While you were in the journey, and a lot of these people didn't see, but as we go through this journey, I want every one of you to see where you're at right now. That's why I'm doing this. A journey of a believer, not a journey of an unbeliever. It's a journey of a believer. Somebody that believes, and if we believe, then we must believe on to the end. It doesn't matter if you go by the grave, like Brother, Collins, the other day, what a wonderful thing. What a wonderful testimony. You say, he died. No, he's not. He's more alive now than he ever has been. He don't have to get up in the morning and go, light bill, phone bill, got to take care of this, got to take... No, he's over there going, oh, God bless you, Brother Branham. I told him the other day, I said, his wife said he was... You know, listening to a lot of tapes, said he loved that voice. He didn't hear a voice on the tape that morning. He heard the real man. I'll get, because you know what? You're gathered with your people, right? He was gathered with Brother Branham and Brother Moat and all the different ones. Brother Tatum and all them, Brother Gary and some of the ones, I'm saying some of the ones he really knew very well. And then there's Brother Branham, and I bet you if he could have cried, he would have cried, but he didn't. He couldn't cry. But he was so happy to see the guy that he had listened to all of his life.
Right.
He could finally see that person. Now show me where sadness comes in that.
Right.
Oh, departure, we know all that is sad. But my, isn't that what we're living for?
Amen.
And I'm not just living to see William Branham. I'm living to see Jesus Christ, but you know, we don't literally see him though. Not yet, not till the resurrection, not till we meet him in the air. So we're going to see Brother Branham and all these different people that's went on, Brother Tom and all the ones that's went on. We're going to see them first. Then we're going to rejoice. And then we're going to meet Jesus in the air, the one that made all this come about. So you keep that in your mind as we go through this. And we look in Ruth. Let's pull this back up just a minute. Because we know that, and I'm not, I don't want anybody to say, well, you're saying you're belittling the Holy Ghost. No, you got to have the Holy Ghost.
Right.
But that's the beginning of your journey.
Amen.
That's not the end.
Right.
That's the beginning. If you're still alive, that's the beginning of your journey. I don't care how old you are. What a great thing. Brother Brandon walks across the curtain of time and he sees this 18-year-old girl run up and hug his neck and say, oh, my precious brother, and then runs off. And the angel, now watch the angel. There was a lot of people did that, but that angel said, did you recognize her? He was making a point. He's making a point. He said, do you recognize her? He said, never seen her before in my life. In other words, the angel said, yeah, you did. See, she was 92 years old when she came to the Lord and got saved in your meeting. And then Brother Branham said, no wonder she said, my precious brother, and she was so happy. Lived 92 years in a world of sin and then come. Now, the prophet didn't save her. Let's get that. The prophet didn't save her. But he brought her to Christ. And Christ saved her. And by that, he met her over there on the other side. And there was the fruit of what Brother Branham is. And I believe Brother Branham was like, man, what am I scared of now? Why would I be scared? And here we are 18 years old and all these people, he said millions of people are saved under his ministry. And we know that because it keeps happening. It keeps happening. It keeps happening. Wherever Zach Black is, it keeps happening. Keeps happening. Keeps happening. This journey's not over yet, but it's getting close. So the journey though is in four parts. We have four parts of our journey to come to. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and placing or adoption are being rewarded. Amen? Amen?
That's right.
So let's just don't say I'm born again. No. Listen, when I got born again, that's just when the fight began.
Right. Yeah.
It's been a fight the whole time, but you know what? The battles are a lot easier. Just like this battle that the world's fighting with this virus. I'm not fighting that battle. I'm not fighting that battle, Donnie. What battle? That's right. The battle's inside here. I want to get that coronavirus out of this thing right up here. I ain't worried about getting it down here. I'm worried about getting it up here. Satan puts a virus in. Where does it go? Don't go down here. It goes up here in a Christian. Can't get in the soul. Can't bother the soul of an individual. But he sure can get in that brain. But see, we're coming, though, to a placing or adoption where Brother Branham said, Jesus didn't, in other words, he didn't have to get up every morning and say, I gotta be God, I gotta act like God, I'm Jesus, I gotta act like him. No, he just acted his life out.
Right.
And that's the same way with you and I. Don't make yourself odd. If you'll walk like this, you'll automatically be odd.
Right.
To the world, we're the oddest people that ever lived on the face of the earth.
Right.
Thank God.
Amen.
They called Jesus the devil. They did. Remember, they called him Beelzebub. You know why? Because he didn't come the way they thought he should come.
Right. Oh, yeah.
He didn't come the way that they came. Because see, they had a religion, they had a covering, they had a denominational idea that was different from what? God. Or Jesus Christ. So the journey of Ruth, journey of Abraham has four parts. Justification, sanctification, baptism, Holy Ghost, and placing or adoption. And then we looked at the four combat beasts, the lion, ox, man, and eagle. Now look, you and I are in the eagle anointing. But that doesn't mean that the lion, ox, and man is not there. That just shows us the whole complete plan of redemption, the whole complete plan of us.
Right.
Everybody got that?
Right.
We still need the boldness of a lion, Brother Brown said. And he said that ox was in what, the dark ages? He said the same spirit they had to make it through that dark ages. Now watch this. He said that same spirit they had that sent them into the lion's den and was able to take that spirit of the age, you have to use every day to get through your day. You have to use that what? Sacrificial ox anointing. Some of them, I've been in this message for 40 years. Same thing. And then the intelligence of the man, and then the eagle anointing is where it goes up higher. So we can see these things in the Bible and see these things in your walk of your life that you can say, that happened to me. That's my journey. That's my part of life. So let's go on up a little bit more to Ruth. We knew that the four characters in Ruth, because I want you to keep going back to Ruth a little bit. Just scroll it up to the next slide there, please. Where Ruth, you had Naomi, which was the type of the old Jewish church, and we saw all this. Orpha, type of the denominational church, because remember, she was with Naomi, but she decided to go back.
Right.
All right, she didn't want to take a furtherment of the word. You're going to see somebody else do the same thing in Esther. Ruth, there's your Gentile bride, because remember, everything she done was service, serving. Right. She listened to Naomi. She listened to that old Jewish church, because that old Jewish church knew the ways of the Jews. Ruth did not. She wasn't married long before her husband's died, so she couldn't learn, so she had to learn from mama, churches. All right, everybody got that? And then Boaz absolutely topped Christ, and we saw all the things that happened there. So now let's go to the book of Esther. We're not going to deal with the book of Numbers. I still think it's just a beautiful picture, though, talking about the book of Numbers and Joshua, about how that two tribes and a half tribe stayed on one side of Jordan, and then the other half tribe went across, and then they were placed over there. To me, it's just a beautiful, beautiful journey. All right. So let's get this straight before we get started. We'll start right here. We're going to go verse by verse up until probably the second chapter, and then we'll stop right there so we won't be very long. Now, remember, as we go through the book of Esther, the name of God doesn't occur one time. All right, but in no other book, I'm reading the commentary of Scofield, but in no other book of the Bible is his providence more conspicuous.
Right.
Why? Because you got a girl that's a Jew, but she's not letting everybody know that. But then you've got a king that's king over, I'm talking about maybe 2/3 of the whole landmass of the world, he's a king over. All right, and there's this guy comes in named Haman, and he's wanting to kill all the Jews. He doesn't know Hadassah or Esther is Jew yet. Hadn't revealed that to him yet. So he just says, hey, Haman paints such a bad picture. The guy says, okay, get rid of him. And then Mordecai finds out about it. And they're like in total distress because they're fixing to get destroyed. This king's got armies by the millions, right? So here's the story. Same thing with you and I. This world looks pretty bleak, but you know what? The only salvation and saving grace is through the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm sorry, but I didn't play this thing out. God did, and this is the way it is.
Right.
All right? The only salvation is through a fivefold ministry that are born again, that preaches the word of God to you, and you respond and receive it and then act on it. That's just the way it is. I love it that way because it's simple. It's real simple. But Esther, then, we're going to look at the king, King Ahasuerus. We looked up the definition of his name, and there is not one. It's just a question mark. If you look in your Hebrew lexicon, it's just a question mark. They don't even know where this guy, he's the greatest king that ever lived, but they don't know him by name. Hello, somebody. Okay. But we do. So the king is a king. Esther is a type of the bride. Vashti is a type of the old denominational church. And Mordecai, we know even Mordecai means little man. So he will be the prophet that's going to be in the background, and he's going to be telling the bride or Esther what to do. Right? Has everybody got that? Say amen. Wake up! I hope we start having a revival of staying awake. I'm telling you, it's a charge to see everybody back in church.
Right. Yes. Amen.
It is a charge to me. But some people, you know, I preached on a revival the other day. I was telling them downstairs, you know, It's going to say, it's sad because it's an individual revival. It's not one, it's not the whole church is going to, sure, we're all happy to be here, but you're going to fall into revival of your own. And we see it more now, social distancing, and they want you to stay away from everybody. Well, you can have your own revival. Amen? You can have a one-man revival or a one-sister revival. Because God never promised anything about Him distancing Himself from you. Amen? So He'll be right there with you. But we see that Haman, when Haman comes in, it's going to be interesting. Even the lineage of these people, I went through a lot of the history on this, and that's why I don't want to bore you, but it's a beautiful picture to me. You can read it for yourself, or you can look up some of these words. Some of the words are just so fitting for the day, and the king, even Ahasuerus, he has no meaning to his name. We look at Esther, we know that her name, original, her name was Hadassah. Because that's her Jewish name, and then her name had to be changed to Esther. Hello, somebody. Vashti, we know. Vashti means beautiful. Vashti wasn't ugly. She is a pretty church. John admired her in Revelation chapter 17. Amen? So we'll get into that right here real quick. And then Mordecai means little man. About 5'6". And Haman is a direct descendant, if you take his lineage back, he's from the Amalekites. And what did God say to do to the Amalekites? Kill them all. Amen? Because what did Amalek do? They wouldn't let Israel pass through the land. And God said, no, I got no more of these people. They're not even going to be entered into the lineage of the righteous, but they got in the lineage of this guy named Haman. So we'll get to it in just a second. If you don't mind, we'll go through the first chapter. Set the stage. So now watch. The story continues. As Jerusalem was dispersed right before this time, and a mere remnant went to Jerusalem. A certain amount went to Jerusalem, but a lot of them stayed because they were lazy. And here's the commentary says, the mass of the nation preferred the easy and lucrative life under the Persian rule. Does that sound like Laodicea? A lot of us stayed in Laodicea, where we live here. But we're going to see, though, that God didn't forsake them, just like God's not going to forsake us. He puts all these players right into the world. Not of the world, but in the world. He puts Esther, Mordecai, all these different ones that you're going to see, he puts them in there with the Jews basically to save them because that they still have every year, it's called the Day of Purim, and they celebrate in Israel the Day of Purim is the day, it's kind of like our Independence Day. That's the day that they celebrate because they would have been wiped out on that day. There was a battle, and if they hadn't defended themselves, they would have been wiped out. But you know what? God's not going to let them get wiped out. Right. Just like the bride, you're going to see us, and we're this great big number, and then we're going to dwindle down a little bit, and all these different things are going to happen. But you know what? It doesn't matter if it comes down to one. Right. God's going to have a bride.
Right.
Amen. One, it doesn't matter if it's one. You can decide whether it's you or not.
Right.
So let's go now through the book of Esther. And let's remember, Esther types the bride. The king is going to, he's the greatest king that ever lived at that moment. King Ahasuerus. Then you've got Vashti, which is his wife at the time of the story. Got it? She's the queen. She's the first one. Then we're going to see a guy named Mordecai come in a little bit later. But watch how this sets up. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, that is Ahasuerus which reigned from India. All right, go look in your map. All the way, India is close to China. All the way to Ethiopia, which is over there in Africa, is in the top of Ethiopia. So it was all that kingdom, all across the Middle East, and all the way over into India. Over 127 provinces. So this king was not just a king that was sitting on a throne and he had three or four subjects. No, this guy had, we're going to see, he's got chamberlains, he's got people that are, and it actually, what, what gets me is he's got princes and chamberlains, and there's seven of them. Seven is so prevalent in this scripture that it's just not odd. It's God. God did this. God wrote this. God made this come to pass. All right? So now let's watch. See that in those days, when the king Assuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan the palace, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all the princes and his servants. So it's in the third year of his reign. All right? Third year of his reign. The power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces being before him. In other words, he said, I'm going to have this feast, and I'm going to bring all my noble people in, all the people of renown, I'm going to bring them in, and we're going to have this feast. And what does a feast do? That means you eat. So what am I saying? The king told us, if you want to have a feast, we're going to have one on Wednesday night, at 7 o'clock, we're going to have one Sunday morning at 10 and Sunday morning at 2, whether you sleep through them or not. But that's what the king's saying. He's, look, I want to show you what I got. King Jesus wants to show you what he's got. He's not a bragger, though. We brag on him, but he's not a bragger. He wants to show you what you already got. He wants to bring you into this kingdom. When he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom. Is that not what he's doing now? He's showing us the riches of his kingdom. By what? By scripture and by somebody, by revelation, bringing something to you. Even by reading the wonderful psalm that you read today, that was perfect for the time. When he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty many days. Even 160 days. That's a half a year. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people. Now, not just the dignitaries now. Everybody. Laity. The one that you may think you're a fingernail. I'm a doormat in the house of God. God doesn't forget you. He made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan the palace, both unto great and small. 7 days. In the court of the garden of the king's palace. 7 church ages. He's called the great and the small to this feast. Where were white, green, blue hangings fashioned with cords of fine linen and purple, silver rings, pillars of marble. The beds were of gold, silver, upon a pavement of red and blue and white and black and marble. This wasn't just a plain meeting. And when they gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another. Aren't you a vessel of gold? Aren't you diverse one from the other? Aren't you different, a little bit different, diverse one from another? And royal wine, what? He's going to fill these vessels. He's going to fill these diverse vessels with the Holy Ghost or with the wine. Royal wine in abundance, not just give you a little dribble. No, you're going to drink till you're drunk. Like Brother Joel said, get drunk on the Holy Ghost one time. It'll be a lot different than getting drunk the other way. And the drinking was according to the law. None did compel. For so the king had appointed all the officers of his house that they should do according to every man's pleasure. So the king has invited everyone to this great feast. Not a person left out. He's invited everybody. But he had a queen at the time. And this queen at the time decided to have her own denomination. And Vashti, now beautiful, she wasn't ugly. She was beautiful. Oh, nice to look upon. The king at one time probably loved her. But it's what she did. It's what caused him to turn away from her. And also Vashti, the queen, made a feast for the churches in the royal house which belonged to King Assuerus. In other words, she went right in and said, I don't want to have anything to do with your feast. I'm quoting Brother Branham, actually. I don't want to have anything to do with your feast. I'm going to have my own. I don't like what you're doing, in other words. I'm going to do it my way. But watch, on the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded, now here is seven people. Mayaman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, Abagatha, Zethar, and look at number seven. Carcass. Matthew 24:28. That's where the carcass is. That's where the eagles will be gathered. It's funny that it's number seven. Not four, three, six, seven. And they were seven chamberlains or eunuchs that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king. In other words, they had no other worth about them except the king. Got it? Now, carcass. If you look at the word carcass, it means the covering of a lamb. Wow, how about that? But now what he done is he commanded these people that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king to bring Vashti. Now he's telling these seven people, I want to see my wife. To bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal to show the people and the princes her beauty. He was getting ready to present her to the world.
Right.
Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Branhamites, if you're not born again. Whatever you want to say. We can become one of the biggest denominations in the world. And now we got a headquarters. To bring Vashti the queen before the king. Now, what to do? He didn't want... At that time, he still wanted to use that queen. He wanted her to be queen, and he wanted everybody to see her. But what happened? Show her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused. Refused to come at the king's commandment. Look, by his ministers. He preached the word through them seven. Wasn't actually him saying it, but by his chamberlains. They brought the message to Vashti and said, the king wants to see you. And Vashti says, don't want to see him. Brother Brown said that's the same way the denominations have done. That's the same way we can do. We can refuse, the prophet of God said, a furtherment of the word. They refused the furtherment of the word. They didn't want to come to the king anymore. So what happened? Now watch, but Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Yeah. Now he was angry. Look, you don't refuse a king naturally. That's death. You refuse a king in a natural world back then, and they just killed you. But watch what happens. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times... In other words, they were updated on the revelation. For so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment. And the next to him was, watch, these are the king's messengers, princes, and there's seven of them. And the next unto him was Karshina, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Merez, Mersana, and Mamucan. Now, Mamucan is the last one. And Mamucan means faithful. Now watch. These are seven princes of Persia and Media which saw the king's face. In other words, they were that close to the king. But now watch what happens. Because he says, What shall we do unto the Queen Vashti according to the law, because she has not performed the commandment of the King of Source by the chain? In other words, we can't just let this go on. We can't just let this happen. There's got to be some kind of repercussion. Because you can't turn God down and there'd be no repercussion. Everybody okay? Wake up! Maybe we ought to have like a movie or something. Entertainment, folks. That's all we're in. We just want somebody to entertain us. This is pretty entertaining to me, how that all this happened 4,000 years ago, and I can sit here and put myself in every bit of this. If you want to be identified in the Word, then all you got to do is look in. That's your identification. What shall we do unto the Queen Vashti according to law? Because remember, you know, God can't work outside His law. He can't just make up a word. His word is 66 books of the Bible. He's got to condemn her by the word. Amen? The denominations had to be condemned by the word of God.
Amen.
Not by God just saying, I don't like them anymore. No, they had to do something to cause His law to come into effect. And there's where the repercussion comes from. Is everybody okay with that? Just a few more minutes and then we'll stop. So she refused, and he's like, we got to do something. What do you seven men decide and think we ought to do? Look at verse 16. Also, his name means dignified. Now, who spoke? The seventh guy.
Right.
The seventh man comes up with an idea. The seventh man gets a revelation. Because remember, they speak for the king in all other matters. So this seventh man, oh Lord, answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only. In other words, she's condemned the whole world. Not just affect the queen, the king. Because watch what happens. But also to all the princes and to all the people that are in the provinces of King Ahasuerus. In other words, all through Christendom. This denominational idea has popped up that we don't have to do what God tells us to do. We don't have to do what the king tells us to do. Something's got to come about, because then everybody else is going to just do what they want to do. Amen. No headship. We must have headship. That's why that seventh man, watch what he's fixing to say. He's fixing to lay it out. Just like Brother Branham laid it out. Watch the message of the hour in verse 17 through 22. That's why number seven spoke. For this deed of the queen, now what is a queen, shall come abroad unto all churches. Women are churches, right? In other words, this Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism is going to come out of Nicaea and it's going to go into every woman so that they shall despise their headship. In their eyes, that don't make it right, but in their eyes, they're going to despise their headship. When it shall be reported. In other words, when the report goes out, the churches, the women are going to say, well, if you don't have to cut your, I mean, if you can cut your hair, and if you don't have to do what God said, I don't have to do what He says either. The king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. In other words, she refused and set up a denomination. Likewise, watch. Shall the ladies, churches of Persia and Medea, say this day unto all the king's princes, which have heard of the deed of the queen, thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. Everybody got that? But now watch. This is Memucan. This is the dignified guy. This is the number seven guy that has more revelation, obviously, than the rest of them, because the rest of them are probably just sitting there shaking their head. But this guy's standing up and said, look, this is what we should do. If it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, Bible, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and Medes, that it be not altered. Right. Can't change the word of God.
Exactly.
That Vashti come no more before the king. In other words, he's cutting her off. And let the king give her royal estate unto another. That is better than she.
Right.
Brother Branham comes in and he comes into the denominational world, and what happens? They don't want him.
Right.
Oh yeah, they do for a little while for all the healings and all that stuff, but then they start going, nah, we don't want that anymore. So God says, okay, Brother Branham, here's your real message. It's to a group of people that will accept you.
Right.
There's an Esther getting ready to come on the scene.
Glory.
That she's going to do exactly what you tell her to do.
Right.
I'm going to send her a little prophet, a little uncle, a little guy to raise her. And then we're going to present Esther to the king.
Right.
Listen, Brother Branham is not God.
Right.
But he did help us get dressed.
Right. Amen.
Amen? He helped not just physically. He helped us get dressed. So that we can be in the king's chamber.
Right.
Not just be somebody out in another palace. We'll read that when we get on into the, get on into here. But look, that Vashti come no more before, in other words, cut her off.
Yeah.
Take all of her, everything away from her that I gave her. And that's what God did.
Right.
He threw her in the bed of adultery.
Right.
Remember the scripture? And let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. Now this is Memucan, this is the number 7 guy. And when the king's decree which he shall make shall be published.
Right.
1,100 sermons.
Right.
Amen.
Published.
Right.
And sent into the whole world.
Right.
For it is great.
Mm-hmm.
I like that little parenthesis. For it is great. All the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both the great and small. What is he doing? When the prophet of God preached, he preached headship.
Right.
Headship, headship, headship. It has to start with God, but then it has to go to the home.
Right.
Look, and the saying pleased the king and the princes.
Right.
And the king did according to the words of Memucan.
Right.
For he sent letters. 1,100 of them.
Right.
All over the world.
Right.
Into every province according to the writing thereof and to every people after their language.
Right.
Have these 1,100 sermons not been put in every
right.
language almost in the world?
Right.
And it was the words of Memucan that spoke them.
Right.
But it was the king backing them up.
Right.
That's the same way what happened. To spread the message and every people after their language that every man, look, shall bear rule in his own house.
Right.
And that it should be published according to the language of every people.
Right.
The headship of God was restored under William Branham's ministry.
Right.
No doubt. There's no doubt of that. Because you lose your headship when you turn against God, when you decide you're going to do something contrary to the Word of God.
Right.
You lose your headship. You come out from under. That's why Brother Brown talks about when you cut your hair, women, when you cut your hair, you've come out from under the headship of your husband.
Right.
Same way, if you cut yourself off with God, as Vashti did, she decided, just like Ruth decided, but she made the wrong decision.
Right.
So here we are, Vashti decided to just say, I'm going to have my own feast. I'm going to have my own church. And you look in Revelations 3, 14, 15, 16, 17, down through there, where's Christ? Outside the church.
Right.
Trying to get back in. Because
right.
Vashti has shut him out, kicked him out of his own house, and locked the door.
Right.
But you know what he said? If any man will hear my voice,
right.
hear my voice and open the door,
right.
I will come in and sup with him.
Right.
We're fixing to see this. Here's, well, musicians come, let's stand to our feet. Here's this king now in a quandary. We're going to look at it next Sunday. He's in a quandary. He has no wife anymore. King's got to have a wife. King's got to have a queen. Now, he's cut this one off. And you know what? Under the laws of the Medes and Persians, once the law is written, we're going to see it in a few minutes, or next week. Once the law is written, it cannot be altered, it cannot be changed, or it cannot be stricken out. Same way with the Word of God. Once it's written, it can't be changed, it can't be your own idea. Vashti, it cannot be your idea. But now we see a king. But now watch. Here's this great king, and he's very, very intelligent. He's got these princes over here. He's got one guy that give him this idea that to make 1,100 sermons and send this little guy named Mordecai. And you've got the chamberlains over here. You've got Carcass and all the different ones that are sitting, and they're, you say, what are you saying, Brother Wade? The fivefold ministry does not tell God what to do.
Amen.
But they're right there with him. And through what Memucan done, Memucan caught the revelation that was inside that king's head. Because the king needed a queen. The king had to have a queen, and he couldn't have this one. And he couldn't let the situation go on like it was. But he couldn't change the law. He couldn't just say, no. He just took it away. He just took all of her power away from her. And put her out there somewhere and said, okay, you can have your church, you can have your denomination. I'm just not going to be out there. I'm going to find me a bride.
Amen.
That'll dress right. That'll act right. And every time I call, she'll answer.
Amen.
Isn't that what the bride, isn't that what you want?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. That's the first stage of Esther there, and I hope you enjoyed it. But it's just something that thrills my heart to know that these people go through these things. And everything, this has been written, this Bible's been written for 1,500 years or longer, compiled in just about 500 years, but it's still been written. The book of Esther was written a long time ago, but compiled several, 500 years ago, but it's still been there to read, and people have enjoyed it, and it was a wonderful story. But you and I have had a Mordecai to come and bring us the love letter. Bring us the underline, the allegory, the whatever you want to call it, but here's you got your surface and you've got your actors playing out, but you see underneath that's me and you. Look at the threes and the sevens, and why does the seventh guy speak, and why is the seventh guy named Carcass, and why you got a king, and why you got one that refused herself to the king, just like in the end time. That's just the way it is. We're looking at the... Listen, those people are dead and gone. Their bodies are somewhere in this earth, but they're dust. Their soul lives on somewhere. But you and I are alive. And when we read that, we see ourselves as Esther. We did see ourselves as Vashti at one time. When I was out in the world, I refused a lot of things of God. I don't know if you did or not, but I did. But then what did God do? God said, I got to find a bride. I got to find a bride. And I got to send the preachers. I got to send seven church ages. I got to send seven messengers in those seven church ages. And then they're going to do exactly what my thoughts are going to be projected through those people. And they're going to find me a bride. And guess what? There's a little man named Mordecai walks in right there at the seventh. He walks right in, and you'll see in a minute, it'll be in the seventh year of the king's reign. You know, this happens in the third year. But he's going to walk in on about the seventh year of the king's reign. So, well, it kind of gets a little bit good. But God bless you. Let's sing a song. If you have a need.
Take up your cross and
follow Jesus.
Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to say that
we love Him. Count up the cost. Take up your cross
and follow Him.
You said if you want to start over,
mm-hmm.
I
Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you love him. Count the cost. Take up your cross and follow him. Oh, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day, every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know him. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day, every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know him. Lord, we're counting the cost. We're taking our cross and follow him. Yes, Lord, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day, every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know. Count the cross, take up your cross and follow him.
Brother John, you want to have another baptism? Can we have another one? Okay. Can we have another baptism? Okay. Sister Anna wants to be baptized. She wants to start her journey right. She's good. She's good, but she wants to make sure. And listen, if you want to make sure, I don't care how many times, Frieda, how many times you've been baptized, how many times I've been baptized. You know what? Brother Brown said, take that stake and say, ha, devil, I done went into the water.
Amen.
Right here.
Amen.
And whatever, anything that's still alive has died in that water.
Amen.
So we're going to have a baptismal service this afternoon, Sister Anna. Wants to be baptized, and that's great.
Amen.
Hey, Brother Dale been baptized. He got baptized in the Jordan River over in Israel. Just, he was over there. So him and Mom got baptized, Brother Dean and Sister Peggy. That's okay. Put that stake down, though.
Amen.
And say, this is my journey right here.
Amen.
You may have walked. Look at that sister, 92 years old. I don't know what her journey was. We'll be able to ask her, though. Brother John, we'll be able to sit down and say, hey, 92 years? Were you just a little slow or what? No, we would just, she's going to tell us, she's going to say, look, the devil got a hold of me when I was young. And I probably didn't serve the Lord for 50 or 60 years. She said, but I heard about this meeting that this little man about that tall was going to preach. And she said, I just thought I'd go and see what was going on.
Yeah.
I didn't really want none of that religion stuff or none of that salvation or none of that water baptism or nothing like that. And I just went because my friend went.
Yeah.
My boyfriend wanted to go or my girlfriend wanted to go. Well, you know what it done? After 92 years, it changed her eternal destination.
Yeah.
It didn't change that she went to the grave. That's okay. But Lord, when Brother Branham saw her, she's an 18-year-old girl.
Yes.
I'll bet you when she got saved, she didn't act 92.
Right.
Especially for a little while. But she went on with the Lord, though. But here, but her eternal destination was changed because of one service.
Amen.
Can water baptism do it? Sure. It's the promise. Amen. That if you don't have the Holy Ghost, if you're worried about having the Holy Ghost, go to the water.
Right.
Start at A.
Right.
Start at A. Right. Then go to B. Then go to C. Right. But you know what? Even if you start at A and find out you still got the Holy Ghost, you still got an A, a B, C. You still got to go up that statue of a perfect man.
Amen.
You still got to clean a lot of things out of our life,
yes,
that we need. So God bless you.
Amen.
Our sister's going to be baptized. So tell you, if y'all want to go on and get everything ready, we will dismiss. The back row goes first. Y'all just kind of, you don't need direction, but you know, it, as you exit, let one row go at a time. And, we're going to have a baptism service. So everybody knows where it's at. Let's head down there.